exalt you. We do exalt you. We do exalt you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Just in his presence just for a moment. Hallelujah. Just in his presence just for a moment. Let him begin to speak to your spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Father, we acknowledge your existence this morning. We acknowledge your presence here in this room this morning. We acknowledge your desire to speak to our hearts and our minds this morning. We acknowledge all of that, Lord God. We do exalt you, Lord. We do exalt you, Lord. Now, Father, as we move forward in our worship service today, hallelujah, we just simply say, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. All the time. All the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. I once again want to thank each and every one of you for just coming and worshiping with us this morning. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's a good, good God. Hallelujah. All the time. Did we get that that picture to display of the tabernacle? Did we find one? Okay, can we project it for me? Hallelujah. The tabernacle. Now, this is a very familiar picture for most of us. We understood that this was the way they worship. Today, I want to be concluding our message on knowing the will of God in the subtopic of knowing God's word. We need to understand that there's various positions that the world holds in life. This particular picture represents the tabernacle of God. And what he said it was just a model. It was just to be a model of what's in heaven. But I want to use it as a model today. As you look at the fence all around the tabernacle, the fence represents the separation of those that save and those that are not. Those that are not saved are outside of the fence. And then you see the little gates in the front. God says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Once we get saved, we kind of enter into the court, the outer court. The outer court. I venture to say that a lot of folks confessing salvation may be saved, but they haven't gotten further than the other side of the gate. They're in the outer court. They're saved. They're in the court. They're saved. But they haven't gone any further. They haven't. As you go through this picture, you'll see you see the brazen altar where they sacrifice folks, not folks, but where they sacrifice sacrifice animals. That's to represent us becoming a living sacrifice. Amen. All right. Some people are inside the gate, but they haven't got to the place where they say, God, use me. Whatever you say, do, I'll do. Whichever way you say, go, I'll go. Whatever you say to say, I'll say. Whatever you say to give, I'll give. There's a lot of confessing Christians that are inside the gate but haven't really gone through that first stage of just becoming that living sacrifice that we've talked about before. And just before you enter into the little tent there that we call the tabernacle, there's a brazen laver. It's a cleansing thing where people wash their hands and they cleanse themselves before getting any closer to God. It represents you and I. Once we become a living sacrifice, we've made up our minds that if it's unholy, ungodly, we're going to stay away from it. See, there's still people that want to kind of nip and dip. They want to be inside the gates, but they just want to, you know, want to depend on who they're with, whether it's somebody outside the gate or whether it's somebody inside the gate. They just want to do what they want to do. But the tabernacle itself represents two sections. One's called a holy section. This is where you decide, hey, look, I'm going to get serious with God. I'm going to get to know God a little bit better than I know him right now. A lot of Christians have not gotten into that place. You have to examine yourself and determine where you're at. I keep telling you a lot of times for a lot of Christians, just coming to a worship service on Sunday, one day out of seven, is what they want. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's more is what I'm saying.
Amen. More.
There's more. Mm-hmm. And then the very last room inside that tabernacle there is the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. Something happens when you go in there. Something happens. Very few people, when I'm saying few, compared to the 8 billion that we got on planet Earth, very few people have actually done what it takes to go through the holy and then enter into the Holy of Holies. Because when you get into the Holy of Holies, stuff happens. Stuff happens.
Amen.
Yeah, I got to ask yourself, why don't we have more Christians moving like, not just like Jesus or Peter, but moving like Smith Wigglesworth? If you've done any reading at all about Smith Wigglesworth, that guy was something else. He was just close to God, and he would just do whatever God said do. And because of that, he saw hundreds, if not thousands, of healings. And his methods were crazy. One lady, he came up to him and he punched in the stomach. Now, I know I ain't going to jail punching nobody. But he punched in the stomach because he said God told him to do that, and the cancer just came out.
Wow.
You ought to get a book about Smith Wigglesworth. You know, just read some of the stuff that was going through him. You say, well, how does Smith Wigglesworth, how was he able to do those things? Was he just selected by God and say, okay, you're going to be able to do those things? No, I present to you my belief that Smith Wigglesworth was able to do that because he frequented the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
He frequented the Holy of Holies. Catherine Kuhlman, another lady, mighty powerful. This is basically the same thing. Just had supernatural healings, deliverance, whatever, on demand. Was she selected by God to do these things? I won't say she wasn't, but I can tell you one thing. When you read the biography, one of the things that she did, she lived in the Holy of Holies. She lived there. But in our busy life time, in our busy life schedule, we're so busy. We can't even enter into the holy place. Some of you might even got to the laver where you wash your hands and all that, and you said, I'm not going to do anything unholy, but you're so busy you can't go into the holy place, let alone the Holy of Holies. I'm talking to all of us.
Amen.
Tell somebody you're talking to all of us.
He's talking to all of us.
Life has done that to us. But it was never God's intention. That's why he ripped the curtain. You remember when Jesus died? He ripped the curtain. He ripped the curtain. And what he was saying, look, we don't need this anymore. You see, before he ripped the curtain, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year.
That's right. Amen.
But Jesus said, no more of this. No more of this. Anybody that come into me, that do what they need to do to get into the Holy of Holies. Come on. Something happens in the Holy of Holies. Something happens that's not normally happening to us day by day. The devil works overtime trying to keep us from getting into God's word. See, it is all about the word. We talked a little bit about that last week, but it's all about the word. It's all about knowing the word of God. It's all about getting into that to where you become a walking word. Not that you've got to memorize every word in the Bible, every syllable, every pronunciation, every comma, every dot. No, that's not about that. It's just about you getting into that word so regularly. Hallelujah. You begin to see things that you have not seen. You begin to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit to the point where the Holy Spirit tell you to punch some old woman in the stomach to heal her, that you won't have second thoughts about it. Now, you know we're not there. We're just not there. And I'm talking to all of us, all right? We're not there. But God wants to let you know that you can get there. You can get there. Thank you for that picture. You can get there. All you got to do is decide, hey, look, I'm inside the gate. Now, you got to get in the gate. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to get in the gate. Folks that go to church every Sunday but are not saved, they're outside the fence. And everybody outside the fence is going to go to hell. I got to keep laughing, but it's not a laughing matter. Everybody outside the fence. Can you imagine, listen, going to the store and buying you a $300 dress, $400 shoes, nice pearls, big old hat, so that you can worship outside the fence? Huh? Shout outside the fence. Dance outside the fence. You want to be in the fence. Because if you're in the fence, listen, when your time comes, you're going to go be with the Lord. And you're going to be with him forever. Amen. Everybody outside the fence going to go straight to hell. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I don't know no other way of saying it. Nothing else has scared the folks enough to just go on to give their life to the Lord. Just got to tell them the truth. But today I want to let you know that, and the gist of my message today is that you can not only go through the gate and get inside the fence, hallelujah, but you can experience a relationship with God, hallelujah, that everybody know, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody knew that Smith Wigglesworth was attached to God. In no way in the world he could do some of the things that he was doing. He had a close relationship with God, and that's what God wants for all of us. Those of us that will pay the price. God's not telling anybody to quit their job, stop their business. He's not telling that. But he's telling you, you've got to make him number one. Number one. Amen? Amen. You got to make him number one in your life. Let me just do a little bit of review here. I said at the beginning of this series that everyone has a God-given destiny. You didn't just happen to show up. God has a plan for your life. The devil's strategy is to prevent that plan from happening. Hallelujah. He's prevent that plan from happening. Hallelujah. I know for a fact that had God not come into my life at the age of 32, hallelujah, 32, 33, somewhere there, if he had not come into my life, hallelujah, the devil would have won. Amen. And I would have been a history. I would have had me a nice, comfortable hole in the ground that represents my existence on planet Earth. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God. That's the devil's will for your life. Not only to make you non-effective for God while you're here, but hopefully to take you with him to hell. Now, the question you're going to have to answer is not only whether or not you're going to let the devil win, but whether or not you're going to be effective for God. Come to church every Sunday, but then all the folks that you know you as a town drunk. Come on now. How effective is that? How effective is that? It doesn't have to be the town drunk. Maybe everybody in your circle know you as a big liar. How are you going to win somebody to Christ, and when they look at you, all they can see is liar? So we start off our review by letting you know that God's got a destiny for you, but the devil don't want it to happen. He does not want it to happen. He doesn't want it to happen. You know, after I got saved, God spoke to me and he says, the destiny I have for you, I had for your father, but he wouldn't receive it. My father liked the good time. So you folks don't know nothing about good time. But my father liked the good time. And God told me, he said he just rejected it. So the mantle fell on me. Thank God. Hallelujah. Because before I got saved, I too liked a good time. The devil know how to throw a party. He knows how to throw a party. He'll even ask you internally, what do you like? What do you like? What do you like? What do you like? And he'll tell you, no expense is too much for you. What do you like? What do you like? If you're a woman and you say, look, I like 5-foot bald head men, devil say, I got one. You want two? I got two. God has a destiny. That's what I'm saying to you. God has a plan for your life. You're not just an accident. We also said that we need to learn to live our lives on purpose. See, purpose is what energizes us. Once you understand your destiny, once you understand what God wants for you to do, and you've got to stay in touch with God every day to see that purpose for today. But once you know that purpose, it energizes you. Come on. It allows 85-year-old men to act like they're 50. In all ways. Because of that purpose. I said that you're not an accident. You need to understand it. I don't care how you got here. You're not an accident. God has a perfect, perfect plan for your life. All you got to do is just surrender and say, all right, God. I don't care how deep the devil has a hold of your life. All you got to say is, God, help me, deliver me, get me out. And mean it. Amen. And mean it. There's no magic words. He's looking at your heart. I also say that God wants you to know his will more than you want to know his will.
Amen.
He's trying hard, but the devil is trying hard as well. In part two, we said that it's never too late. Everybody tell somebody that it's never too late. See, the devil come in, he'll tell you that. No, you drank too much wine for that. No, can't get saved. Who wants you in that church? You done this too long. You got too old. You got whatever. It's never too late. Never. Absolutely never. I told you what he did with Moses. You know, wait till Moses is 80 years old. And then somebody, look, you go back to Egypt. Take everything that the Pharaoh owned. Take all his stuff. One man, 80 years old. Now, he was a little scared and he had to take his brother with him. But he did it.
Amen.
You know the story of that. It's never too late. We also saw that when David got out of the will of God, what did he do? He was able to re-enter to the will of God by doing two things, by repenting and asking for forgiveness. It's that easy. I don't care how deep you have gotten into the world of the devil. All you got is just repent, which means turn away from that or let God turn you away from that and ask God for forgiveness. That's all we got to do. Therefore, that we know that we too can move toward God's will by repenting and asking for forgiveness. We can do it. I also said that until you become a living sacrifice, we talk about that living sacrifice on the altar of life. God didn't save you so you could be a good person. He saved you so he could be your Lord. If he's the Lord, then he's in charge. You go where he say go. You do what he say do. You say what he says to say. You give what he says to give. He becomes the Lord. Hallelujah. And last week I said that becoming a living sacrifice without renewing your mind will result in your destruction by the devil. So it's not It's not just that you got to get saved. It's not just that you got to get on the altar of life that and become a living sacrifice, but you've got to renew your mind. And that's one of the things that we have, and I say we, I'm talking about the body of Christ that we know, we have failed to just see that we need our minds renewed. Today, I want to talk to you just a little bit and focus on the effects of knowing God's word. See, you renew your mind by getting into God's word, studying and reading God's word, memorizing and meditating on certain sections of God's word. That's how Smith Wigglesworth and Catherine Kuhlman was able to move to the level that they were able to move toward. That's how they wind up getting into the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies. This one preacher tried to visit Smith Wigglesworth, and he went to his house, knocked on the door, and Smith Wigglesworth came to the door, and the man had a newspaper under his arm, and Smith Wigglesworth said, "What's that?" The man said, "A newspaper. I'm just trying to keep up with what's going on." Smith Wigglesworth said, "You can't bring that in here." He said, "The reason you can't bring that in here is that it's full of lies." He said, "We only allow the truth in here." And that's what he did. That's his life. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. He was a plumber. A plumber. Fixed pipes. Got messy. Got dirty. A plumber. But he was able to enter into the Holy of Holies on a regular level, like you and I should be able to do. Oh, yes. Yes. It will not be long before God tell you, "You're going to have to spend more time with me." Amen. I hear it in my spirit. It will not be long. He'd already talked to me. He's coming for you next. Amen. But you said, "But you're the pastor." Come on. That's a job. That's a calling. But you still, look, if you want to get into the Holy of Holies, there's certain things you got to do. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of title you got. God says it's time for my people to start entering into the Holy of Holies. Start walking and moving with the power that's in them. Hallelujah. And he's talking to you as well. I want to take you back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And the author starts off saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," that's talking about us, "by the mercies of God," he's begging us now, "that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God," which is what? "Your reasonable service." And then I want you to do second thing. He said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is the will of God, no doubt, for all of us to enter into the Holy of Holies and have an experience and a relationship with him like the world never could understand. But we're settling for crumbs. We're settling for crumbs. And he said, it's much more than that. When it comes to renewing your mind, it's the truth that'll set you free. And that's what Smith Wigglesworth was talking about when he says, "In my house only I allow truth." He only allowed the word of God. You see, many people love the Lord, and I believe even willing to die for the Lord, but they don't know the word of God. They don't really know the word of God. They've just made a decision. I love God. I'll die for him, whatever. But they don't. See, when you get to know the word of God, hallelujah, things are going to start happening in your life. You're going to start knowing things that you didn't know before. Things are just going to pop up. Hallelujah. And everybody around you going to say, "Hey, why is that person moving like that? How they do that? How they do that?" I can tell you how they do that. They do that by staying in the Holy of Holies, staying there with God, getting to know his word. You see, if you don't know the word of God, Satan will eventually take advantage of you. He'll tell you something that's just not, it's not God. And you'll buy that because of your current situation. You see, the word of God is how God leads us. The Word is our map. And if we don't know the Word of God, I mean know it. I don't mean just read it and, you know what's in it. The more you read it, the more that's going to get in you. The more your mind and your spirit and everything's going to change. Everything. Everything going to change. Even when you start coming on Sunday. See, when you get to the point where you come into the Holy of Holy with a relationship with God, when you come here on Sunday, it's a whole different experience. When you sit right there in the pews, all of a sudden it's not the person behind this pulpit talking to you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. No matter what I say, the Holy Spirit is going to be saying, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that. But until you get there, all you got is me. And you deserve more than me. Amen? You deserve more than me. So it's something about getting into that Holy of Holy. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 12 it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That word of God is something else, folks. And that's why God left it for us. But we don't really understand. The devil does. That's why he works so hard to make sure it doesn't get in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God. The word of God can help you determine what is from the flesh and what is from the spirit. You get in that word of God enough, it's going to be more than just reading the word. It's going to be more than just hearing the word through your natural ears. You're going to start seeing some things that you have never seen before. See, we try to get it without this, but you can't get it without this. It's all about the word. The word tells you things that your mind doesn't know. We're so busy trying to live on planet Earth that we're not living. Not the way God wants us to live. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says this. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, look at this, like precious faith, talking about you and I, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you've been born again, and that's who he's talking about, you have as much faith as Peter in Jesus. I'll let that soak into you for a little while. You have enough faith to walk on water. Now, don't try this if you haven't been in the Holy of Holies. Amen? You've got enough faith inside of you as a believer to heal the sick. You have enough faith inside of you to raise the dead. That's been done. That's been done a bunch of times. Maybe not by you, but it's been done by other Christians. Even though we have this faith, brothers and sisters, listen to me now. For many of us, it had this faith to do these things haven't been revealed to us. And the only way you're going to get it revealed to you is to get in the Holy of Holies. To get in that place with God. Hallelujah. Oh, you'll know when you get there. But the avenue, the path that you have to take is through his word. It's the word of God that reveals this kind of faith to you. You got to get in there, and you got to get in there regularly. For most of us, we're just struggling to just get in that word for like 5-10 minutes. We're struggling. That's the devil battling against you. All you got to say is, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. And he'll flee. He'll come back. But he'll flee then once you take that stand and just do that. Hallelujah. God is a good God. It's the word of God that reveals this kind of faith to you. Let me take you to Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by how? By the acknowledging, I say that a third time, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How do I acknowledge it? Through the word. Through the word. See, in our natural thing, we get to judging each other and say, okay, this person here is more holy than this person because I see the things they're doing. God sees us all the same. All of us. All of us. Now, what you do with that that's inside of you, that's up to you. Hallelujah. Your faith begins to work when you begin to acknowledge what's inside of you. And you will never come to the acknowledgement of what's inside of you till you take some time and stay in that word. Take time out. I'm not talking about quitting your job or quitting your business. I'm saying making this a top priority for you. Hallelujah. It's almost like, you know, those old TV shows, you know, soap operas. Remember soap operas? See, I grew up in a world of soap operas. Somebody was watching soap operas. At 11 o'clock, I'm going to just grab a time. At 11 o'clock, somebody was watching Days of My Life. Our lives. Those folks that had gotten hooked on Days of Our Lives, you know what they did at 11 o'clock? They stopped at whatever they were doing. I remember as a kid, especially the ladies, they say, well, child, I got to get home. Days of My Life be on here in a little while. Now, you know I'm telling the truth. So if you can put aside time for Days of My Life, why can't you put aside time for the Word of God?
That's right.
Days of My Life not going to do anything for you except give you something to gossip about. But we let the world just take control. Just take control. Philemon 1 and 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. That means it's doing some good. May become effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you by Christ Jesus. See, your faith begins to work when you begin to acknowledge, once again, what's inside of you. Romans 10 and 17 says, very familiar passage, so then faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did Smith Wigglesworth know that he was supposed to punch this woman in the stomach? Old woman. How did he know that? How did he know that? We wouldn't have done it. You know you wouldn't have done it. Not in church. You might have done it in her house in the kitchen. But you ain't doing that in church. Because it don't make sense to your natural mind. So how did he know to do that? The doctors didn't know to do that. The doctors wouldn't do that. The Word of God. Peter talks about this knowledge of God and God's Word. He talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm hoping you're getting something out of this thing. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're listening. It's time out. Listen, I keep telling you, it's time out. If all you got is going to church, you need some more. Don't stop going to church, but you need some more. Things are coming upon us that you wouldn't even believe. Things are changing so rapidly. You heard me in my prelude earlier this morning telling you about how things are changing. You're not going to be able to operate the way you've been operating all your life. You're not. Amen. Something has to change. But when you learn to get into the Holy of Holies, and learn to really be directed and submissive to the will and the way and the Word of God and the voice of God. Hallelujah. I don't care what comes. You'll be able to sustain. Amen. And you'll be able to bless other people. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen, by that verse we know that peace is tied to what you know. Peace is tied to what you know. The devil knows how to take the peace away from you. All he do, listen, all he got to do is take your money away from you. Come on. And all of a sudden you go crazy. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Or bring some sort of disaster upon your family. Then you go crazy. What am I going to do? Well, see, if you live in the Holy of Holies as a regular thing, you don't have to worry about that. Because you'll know exactly what to do. And whatever God tells you to do is going to be successful. If you don't know or have wrong knowledge, you won't have peace. But when you live in the Holy of Holies, peace will become part of you. Hallelujah. That's that peace I keep telling you, to follow the peace. But when you get to living in the Holy of Holies, the peace that you'll start experiencing is going to be a lot greater than the normal day-to-day peace that I'm telling you to follow. That's just step one. You see, if you're looking at things from God's perspective, then you'll have peace all the time. All the time. Does that mean everything going to go right for you? Not necessarily, but you'll have peace. Then Peter continues to talk about having knowledge of God and knowledge of his word in verse 3. And this is what he said. According as his divine power has given unto us all things and pertain unto life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. That knowledge that's activated, hallelujah, before you go into the Holy of Holies. He says, through the knowledge of Christ that has called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. God didn't just call us to be good people. He called us to be spiritually powerful people. Hallelujah. Spiritually powerful people. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. When you take a stand for God and you make yourself a living sacrifice, the devil not only going to come after you, he's going to come after your children. He's going to come after your grandchildren. He's going to come after your great-grandchildren. He's going to come after your mama and your daddy, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your nieces, your nephews. Anybody that he think could make an effect upon you, he's going to come after you. But, as you learn to travel, come on, from the inner court to the Holy of Holies, you'll know how to protect them. You'll know how to protect them. You'll know. You'll just know. Then Peter continues to talk about having that knowledge of God in verse 3. And we read verse 3, but I'm going to read it again. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. I don't want you to miss this thing. When you got saved, God gave you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him. You've got to get that knowledge. This verse says that all things come through the knowledge of God. Not just hearing one sermon. Amen. Through the knowledge of God. We need to wake up, get up, and be who God has called us to be. Wherever you're living at right now, wherever these four counties or so that you're living in, you've been assigned to that county. You've been assigned to change that county. Hallelujah. Not necessarily by running for office. If he tell you to do that, do that. But you've been assigned to make a difference. You've been assigned to be the light there. You've been assigned to be the sign of God right where he placed you. Is your life doing that? You see, when we read 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, these verses say that all things come through the knowledge of God. There's something about getting in that word. That's why the devil fights us so much. You know he fights you. Yes. Come on, if you were willing to tell the truth, you know he fights you. Yes. Come on. You know, it ain't me fighting you. Every time you sit down to read, I'm not calling you. It's the devil. The devil say, you are sleepy. So sleepy. He hasn't told you that yet? He said, you are sleepy. And all of a sudden, the words start hypnotizing you. You put you to sleep. See, there's nothing that does not come through the knowledge of God. If you're depressed, it's because your lack of knowledge. If you're sick, it's because your lack of knowledge. And I'm talking about staying sick. We all may get sick by being exposed to something, but you ain't supposed to stay sick. If you're burdened by lack of resources, talking about money there, it's because of your lack of knowledge. See, you ain't even got to get into the Holy of Holies. Just listen. You don't even have to get into the Holy of Holies to have resources. All you got to do is come through the gate, through salvation. All you got to do is become a living sacrifice on the altar of life and say, look, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. All you got to do is wash your hands in that little basin of laver there and say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. Come on now. You don't even have to go into the holy place. You get to that place right now, and I guarantee you, you'll never be broken another day in your life. Ah! See, some folks just got through the gate. It won't go no further. I'm saying, all right, okay, you can do that. Then in verse 4, Peter tells us the result of having this knowledge of God. In verse 4, it reads this way. Whereby are given, now look, this is the verse. This is where we're trying to get to. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So when you got saved, God said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you, I promise to give you. So what are you going to give me? That by these you might be partaker. By these what? These promises that God has made to those that are saved. But that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? That means you'll be able to do what Jesus did. You'll be able to do what Peter did. You'll be able to do what Smith Wigglesworth did. But you got to get in the Holy of Holies. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. It's never been about money. Never, ever, ever, ever been about money. Never. Never, ever. Never. It's about having that relationship with God. God has some powerful things to say about his word. In Psalms 119, verse 9, he says, where shall a young man cleanse his ways? And then he answers that question. He says, by taking heed thereto according to your word, God. Amen. Let him get in your word. He won't be the same again. Hallelujah. One of the very first things the devil did. Now, listen, you got to understand this. One of the devil's goals is to bring this country to his knees so they can transition to this one world government. And the very first thing that the devil did, and we didn't give him credit for doing it, he took God out of schools. You say, well, why is that so important? Because that age needs to know God like never before. That age is captured 7-8 hours a day. That age. So the very first thing he did, say, no, I don't even want them to know about God. So sometimes now you get a group of little kids, you know, 8, 9, 10, all up 12 years old, you start talking about God, and you should see the faces. They don't even want it. They don't even want that. They don't want you telling them about God. No, we don't need to pray. Well, we're good to go. We're good to go. You're good to go. But you put on a video with some pornography on it. Hey, everybody's all eyes. God has given you and I great promises. And then in Psalms 119, verse 99, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For God, for your testimony. He's talking about the word of God. For your testimonies are my meditation. That's what I meditate on. And the Bible talks about meditating on the word of God. How often? Day and night. As often as you get a chance. Maybe not the whole Bible, but at least one verse that makes a difference to your life right then and there. See, when your life gets confused and stuff starts coming at you from all ways and you're trying to figure it out because you don't want to look bad, all you got to do is go to Proverbs 3 and 5 that says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If that verse become a reality to you, I don't care what the devil throw at you. You'll be able to walk in it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 105 says, all right, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see what God's word does? Listen, what God's word, I love it. I love it all the time. He shows us one thing at a time through his word. Whatever you're going through, if you stay in that word, he'll show you that path one thing at a time. He won't show you everything. You see, if you're walking down a dark road with just a flashlight or a lantern, you will only be able to see a few feet in front of you. You won't be able to see stuff a mile down the road, but just a little bit. And that's how God's word does. The word of God helps us to see one step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. But the very thing, The very thing. Hallelujah. It's almost like walking down that road, one of country roads with no lights. Now, we're familiar with country roads with no lights. It's like walking down that country road with no lights, and you got a flashlight in your back pocket, and you're hearing all these crazy sounds coming from everywhere. And you're just so scared. And I can hear the Holy Spirit say, turn on the flashlight, fool. Just turn it on. And I believe God is saying that you don't know where you're going.
Right.
You don't know where you're going. You're trying to ask God what's 2 miles down the road, and you can't even see a step in front of you. Get in that word, and that word will show you one step at a time. In the same way, God doesn't show us things down the road. Why? Because we would be responsible for their accomplishments. Hallelujah. We would be responsible. I don't know if you really understand what I just said here. He just shows you one thing at a time. He did. You know, it's the same thing with the journey that God had for Sister Eve and I. You know, first thing he told us, we didn't really understand all the stuff. But he said, all right, you have to leave this church right now. So we did. We left that. And then a little while longer, he says, all right, I want you to start a church. Okay. And we did. And then he said, all right, start a child care center. I say, and we did. And then he just gave us the Family Resource Center. And we took it. And then he gave us that thrift store. You know, he said, I want you to open up a thrift store. Hallelujah. Amen. What if he had just told me that all, the whole thing? I don't know if I'd be in San Diego or if I'd be in New Orleans or if I'd be in Chicago. But if he had showed me the whole thing, I wouldn't be here. I can tell you that. Are you with me? I wouldn't be here because I was seen it as, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And what God has for us down the road, listen, you're going to blow your mind when he start adding more stuff on. I know it's coming, but he hasn't showed it to me because he knew I can't handle all that. So he showed me one thing at a time. And that's what the word does. Shows you one step at a time. Let's explore some other mysteries of God's word. Got a little time. Please just bear with this time. It's good. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. God has a plan in mind, and we are part of that plan. If you're here today in the sound of my voice, you're part of that plan. Amen. Whether it's part of this local assembly or he moves you to another assembly, it doesn't matter. You're part of that plan. God is a good God. Psalms 119, verse 130 and 31. It says, the entrance of your word, God, gives me light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted. Why? For I long for your commandments. I long for your word. We got to get to the place where we just long for God's words. I know it, step at a time. And then Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, it says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, what? That you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, unsaved folks walk, in the vanity of their minds. You can't do that no more. You can't do that no more. You can't walk wondering, does this make sense to me? No, it's not about making sense to you. It's about that peace. It's about being guided through God's word. Hallelujah. And then verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. Everybody say ignorance.
Ignorance.
Lack of knowledge. That's what ignorance means. You just don't know. Through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. We're not supposed to be moving like the world. The world could never see what you see. It could never, never, ever, never. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? They just can't understand the things of God. You go around boasting to the unsaved about how much tithe you're paying. You go around, just try that. They'll tell you how foolish you are. Amen. Quickly. They don't understand that. That doesn't make no sense. How could in their mind they say, how could giving away cause you to have more. It don't make sense. It don't make sense in the natural mind. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Don't walk like people that are not born again. That's all we're saying here. Again, God says in Psalms 19 and 7. I give you these scriptures because you need to, some of these scriptures might have just, you just might have passed them by. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. Talking about the word of God. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. And then the very next verse he says, the statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You have to get in the word of God. None of this, I don't have time anymore. Come on. What are you living for? If you're not living for to do the will of God, how are you going to do the will of God? You don't know the will of God. But as you stay in this word, you'll get into the Holy of Holies, and you'll not only start seeing things differently, you start doing things differently. Now listen, the power of God will start manifesting itself through you. Hallelujah. 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 Whenever Sister Eve and I go to the doctor, you know, they'd be asking me, say, well, give me your list of medicine. I don't take no medicine. And they'd be looking at you. They're like, you know, shake your head, uh-huh. Give me that list. Come on, you can give me that list. Give me the list. Because the people they see every day, listen, especially folks of my age, are taking 15, 20 different pills. They feel like they got to do it. But once you tap into that power, I'm not ever saying that you're never going to get sick. But I'm saying, listen, once you tap in that power, you're going to get well. Amen. 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 I don't care if I get sick. Hallelujah. But I'm going to get well. Amen. I'm going to get well. I don't get trapped on some pills for the rest of my life. I'm not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. We need to bring this to an end here. God is just so good all the time. All the time. Listen to me. The word of God will enlighten your eyes when you get in that Holy of Holies. If you've been hurt, get into the word. Hallelujah. If you failed in any area of your life, get into the word. If you're depressed right now, get into the word. Hallelujah. The word of God answers for everything you need. But if you don't know it, it just can't benefit you. Amen? It just can't benefit you. I no way meant to intend to give the intention to those of you out there that medicine is bad. Amen. All right? There may come a time when you need to take medicine. Amen? Amen? Are you with me? I'm just saying that as a child of God, you shouldn't have to be hooked on it for the rest of your life.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. God is a good God all the time. The word is God's answer for anything you need. You see, the word of God is not a dead book about God. It's a living book from God.
Amen.
Ah,
amen.
Once we understood, really understand why God gave it to us. Amen. God can't just speak one word to you. And then you know everything in the universe there is to know, but he gave you a living book that step by step, it will enlighten you, it will deliver you, it will free you, it will empower you to live in the Holy of Holies. If you want to know God's will for your life, repent and ask for forgiveness. Become a living sacrifice. Renew your mind by staying in the word of God. God will reveal his will for your life one step at a time. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus.